this morning, starting a little late this morning, and that's okay because it won't take us long to wrap this up. You're probably looking, thinking, yeah, right. We're going to try to keep this inside a half an hour this morning. Amen. He turned water into wine. So, okay, we're moving on. John chapter number 4, we're starting, we're down to verse 27 there. I'm going to pick it up and just start reading. It says, "And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man." Amen. Help me preach this morning. Look at your neighbor and say, come see a man. Amen. "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Amen. Don't you love the way that last statement ends there this morning? We can say that. How many can say amen to that with me this morning? And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world, that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He is the called one. He is the one that the Father sent unto the world and carried his name. And so here this morning, we have life only through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now Jesus has already revealed unto this woman, and we looked at it briefly last time we were together, and we've been looking at this. I guess this is I've got it as the third Sunday. I don't think I'm missing one, but I think this is the third Sunday we've been looking here in John chapter number 4. And the declaration of the Messiah and his coming was made clear to this woman. If you remember there in verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah's cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her very clearly, very distinctly, and without a doubt, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. What a strange person that Christ would reveal himself so directly and so openly to as this woman of Samaria. This woman that, as his disciples are going to return here from going away to buy the food, they're going to come back and they're going to be amazed because Jesus is even speaking to this woman. But not only has he spoke to her, he has declared that he is Messiah. Amen. That he is the one that should come. That he was the one, he was the son of the living God. Jesus often did this, didn't he? He often revealed himself to the most unlikely of characters. You would think that, you know, if it had been us, we would have probably gone maybe into the Sanhedrin, or we'd go to the Pharisees or the scribes and so forth. And we would go unto them and declare to them very, very directly that we are the one, that we would be the Messiah. But yet Jesus here finds a Samaritan woman in a well in Samaria and declares, I am the one. I am the Messiah. He did the same thing with that blind man. If you remember the story of the blind man that we've looked at along with this a little bit, that when he had opened his eyes, and after he'd gone through all, and Jesus had returned unto him, and he asked the man, do you believe on the Lord? And he says, how can I believe? Who is he that I should believe? And what did Jesus say to him? Jesus said, thou hath both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. It is me. I am the one. Amen. And he believed on him. He believed on the Son of God. The Messiah would come. She had expected it. They were expecting it. It had come through all the prophecies of the Old Testament scripture. Many that this Samaritan woman would receive. I read in a couple places there where the Samaritans didn't accept all of the Old Testament scripture, that they only accepted part of it. Maybe the Torah, the books of Moses, they would accept as being the word of God, but much of it they would reject it. But yet, even in the Torah or the law or the Pentateuch, there was much prophecy given about that lamb that was coming. From the very beginning, that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth, that Passover lamb that they killed there when they were in Egypt and placed the blood upon the doorpost, all that looking to the one true lamb that would come. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 42. He says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law." Amen. Expected Messiah. They looked for him. They expected him to come. The prophecy had been given of Jesus, the one, the called out one, my servant. And many of the prophecies that's given in the Old Testament scripture, it talks about my servant David. Now, we know that even in much of the times that the prophecies were given, that David had long since died and had been buried. Amen. Just like Peter preached on the day of Pentecost when they talked about that one that he would not allow his soul to see corruption. And they would think, well, surely it couldn't be speaking of David because he had long since been corrupted. But he talked about that servant David, or the one that would come, the root and the offspring of David. Amen. And the woman said, "We know that Messiah is coming." Jesus says, "I that speak unto thee am he." And so the disciples returned. They've returned after going back to get the food. No doubt they've got some type of food to give to their master, to give to Jesus. And when they see, and they come and they see Jesus talking to this woman, it says they marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" So they were amazed by this. Maybe two reasons. One, she was a woman, and I've heard and read in a couple places there were much restrictions that were given as far as a man in dealings with a woman there, especially in the rabbinic law. And some of it I read, some of it, it's one of them things you kind of like, okay, maybe not. I don't know. It's been a long time. But yet, clearly because she was a Samaritan, so this Samaritan woman, so when the disciples returned, they marveled that Jesus had spoken to this woman. And so we're going to look at this exchange here toward the end of this chapter as we look at this woman. We're going to look at it from two ways. We're going to look at the proposition first, then we're going to look at the description, and then we're going to look at the declaration. So those are the three things that we're going to look at this morning. Let's first look at the proposition or the invitation that was given. The woman leaves here. Matter of fact, verse 28 says, "The woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" So after this exchange between her and Jesus, Jesus has told her all. You remember what he said about her husbands? "Go call your husband. I have none, Lord." Yeah, you've said rightly. You've had five. And the one that you live is now not your husband. So there's six men that this woman has been involved with at some level. And yet here she goes back and she tells, it says that she leaves her water pot. Now, why she left her water pot, I don't know. Maybe it was excitement. Maybe she was just so excited about the fact that she was going to go spread this wonderful message that she had received about meeting this Messiah. I mean, maybe she just left it for Jesus and the disciples. You remember he'd asked water, and he asked for a drink of water. And so maybe she had drawn the water at some point, and there sets the pot. And knowing that she's going to return or come back to him, she leaves the pot behind. So whatever the case may be, I've heard it preached a lot of different ways throughout my years, heard a lot of messages preached on this chapter. But she leaves her water pot behind, and she goes. Now, remember what she said one time. She said, give me water. Jesus said, I'm going to give you water, and you never go thirst again. She said, oh, that'd be great, Lord. This is my paraphrase. I'm sorry. It says, I won't have to come back here and draw water anymore. And she's thinking physical. Of course, Jesus was offering a spiritual water. He was offering that water for the soul. Amen. That living water. Remember we looked at last time, that running water. Amen. The water that purifies, the water that cleanses, the water that we surely will never thirst again. Now, physically, obviously, we get thirsty. I was out there working in our yard yesterday, and it was hot, 90-some degrees. And I'm out there trying to change the oil in my car, and somebody that put that oil filter on last time put it on way too tight, and I couldn't get that off, and it was hot, and I'm sweating. You know what I had to do? I had to go get some water. Why? Because I got thirsty. But this water that Jesus is talking about, it says you're never going to thirst again. So I don't think she's still thinking physical. Surely it's sunk in by now. He's not talking about natural water. He's not talking about me not getting physically thirsty again. But he's talking about a spiritual water. But whatever the case may be or whyever she does it, she leaves her water pot and she goes her way into the city to the men of the city and she says, come see a man. Amen. Come see a man. Can you imagine what their thought must have been the first time those words come out of her mouth? Come see a man. Another one. Number seven, come on. Whatever their thought may have been, that's all you need is another man. But I love the song. It says he was more than a man. Amen. This man was going to change her life. This man was going to change from the inside out. Amen. This was not another man that was going to disappoint. This was not another man that would desert at the drop of a hat. This was not one of the five that would go away and maybe never be seen again. And now this sixth one that she's with, this was a man that says, I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you, but I will go with you always, even until the end of the world. Aren't you glad to know that man this morning? Amen. Come see a man. That was her message. Come see a man. We could say it this way. Come meet Jesus. Now, we've been talking about evangelizing. We've been talking about sharing the gospel. We've been talking about reaching our world. And I was scrolling through my Twitter account. I like Twitter because I can be pretty particular about Twitter. I don't, if I'm following somebody on Twitter, it's because I want to hear what they got to say. On Facebook, you know, I get a lot of friend requests, and you know, you just take them just because I'm just a nice guy and I hate to turn down anyone. Hey, if you're my friend on Facebook, it's not why. I'm talking about other people outside of here. But on Twitter, you can see what you want to see. And I'm following a lot of the bigger churches and a lot of the big preachers, and I like to read what they have to say, the Lee Strobel's of the world and the Alistair Begg's and so on. And so I like to read what those guys have to say. Well, one of them this week, they were posting something out there, and they were having a witness seminar. Come learn how to witness for Jesus. And so they had this picture that was with the post, and so I looked at the picture, and it looked like one of them business meetings I've been to, where they have the overhead projector, and they got all the tables set up, and you get a notebook, and you've got it spread out there, and they got little bottles of water that you come to get, and they set the bottle of water on you. I've been to those, and so I know what they're like, and you get a lunch break, they stop, and sometimes they'll serve you lunch, and so on, and so I was looking at this picture, and I thought, Lord, is that what it's going to take? Or could it just be as this woman that had an encounter with Jesus that just went back and said, come see a man. She didn't have time for the seminar. She didn't have time to get the five steps to witnessing. She didn't have time to hear about the right pitch to make. She didn't have time to hear about, you know, you got to use the water thing. You know, when you talk about water, use that water. That thing with water works pretty good because, you know, it was used on me, so I'm going to use that. Now, she just went away excited because Christ had touched her heart in such a way, and she just said, come see a man. Now, a lot of you guys are like me. been saved a long time. No offense to any of you. But and so, you know, you're in this side. You're in this saved group. We've been saved so long that, you know, we realize that we're not part of this unsaved group. Now, there are some of us may be here, maybe not, we haven't been saved that long, so, you know, we haven't been pulled out long enough that we're still excited, and we know, well, hadn't been long removed from that. But if you're like me, you've been out of the world a long time, and so it's hard sometimes to relate and say, well, you know, they want to hear what I have to say. But you know what? I pray that we don't lose that fire that we experienced when God first touched our hearts. That fire that we had when the Lord first brought us out of this world. And even though we may have been out a long time and a whole lot of years, may our testimony still be, come see a man. Amen. Come see a man. Come see one that told me, what she says here, all things that ever I did. Now, that's probably an overstatement. He didn't tell her everything, but he told her enough. It's possible we may not have all the dialogue. It's possible that there was more that was said during this time. Obviously, you know, not everything was written that was happened. John makes that clear to us in his gospel. Matter of fact, he says if everything was written that Christ had done, that even the world could not contain them. Amen? So it's possible there was more that was said. But for the most part, it's pretty clear that what Jesus told her was that which she had not revealed to him. That was the last thing she would have told him. Man, but yet, here she says, come see a man that told me all things. Everything about, he was able to look to her very heart. He was able to look to the very inside, where no one knew, where no one could dig out. She wouldn't go back and once again declare this to someone. It was probably something that she would keep to herself. So maybe this was a slight exaggeration that he didn't tell her everything, but he told her enough things for her to understand that he knew everything. Amen. The scripture tells us that Jesus, when he walked this earth, he didn't really need anyone to tell him what was in man. Because he knew man. Amen? And you know what? God knows our heart. God knows everything. You scared me to death as a kid. Remember, I used to hear this from the preacher. God knows everything about you. Oh, Lord. Everything? Please, not everything. Everything. Amen? Everything about us. But yet still, he called us out. Amen? But yet still, he died on a cross for our sin. Amen. That she goes into the city. Come see a man. It says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. At this woman's word, this woman with five husbands and living with a man, come see a man. At her word, they all left and went to hear. I've got to assume, this is just me assuming this morning, and so take it for what it is, but it appears to me that the Spirit of God may have been prepping the hearts of these people. Amen. It appears to me that God uses this woman in such a way, and you know, that there was already an expectancy there. They were already looking for Messiah, clearly. She made that clear. She comes, says, let me tell you about a man that told me everything about me, all things. So they go out to hear him. God using an ordinary woman with ordinary words to do extraordinary things. He brings that the whole city would go out and to hear these words. Look what Jesus says just two chapters over here in John chapter number 6. Just turn there with me. This is the murmuring of the Jews, is the way this is titled in my Bible. And this is Jesus as he has declared that he was the bread that came down from heaven, that talked about the bread of life that shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He says that same thing again. You'll never thirst again there in John 6 and 35. And the Jews begin to murmur, says, then murmured at him, verse 41, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Says this, Isaiah said it this way, Isaiah 54 and 13, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Here we find the religious establishment, if you will, rejecting Messiah, because he said, I came down from heaven. He said, how can he come down from heaven? We know his father, we know his mother. He said, well, unless you've been taught of the Father, you will not come unto me. In fulfilling of Isaiah's words, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Amen. She went out and invited them. No training, no seminars, no classroom. No overhead projector. She just says, come see a man. Really, it just begs the question, how much do we really need to know to invite someone to Jesus? Now, I'm not pleading ignorance this morning. I don't want you to be ignorant in the Word of God. I believe we need to study the Word of God. But the reality of it is, it's the burning in our heart that's going to come out. Man, it's the Lord that touches our lives. And it's just like, you know, we mentioned that blind man. You remember what he said there? It said, they went to his mom and dad and said, how is this man born blind see? They said, we don't know. He's of age. Ask him. You know, they were a little scared, a little intimidated. So then they go to the blind man. They ask him the question. They said, give God praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Blind man said this, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know. Wherein I was blind, now I see. Amen. That's my testimony this morning. There's a whole lot I don't know. But there's one thing I know this morning. I was once blind, but Jesus has given me sight. Amen. That I now can see. That mean I have all the answers to all life's questions? No, I do not. But this week, I don't know when it happened. I think I was riding down the road. That's usually the case because I ride down the road a lot. I drive 2 hours every day, so I was probably on the road. But Shell had given me this song to listen to, and so I'm listening to this song, and it's about God, and it's about the creation and how he spoke things into existence and all this, and I'm just listening to it. And for just a brief second, I got a glimpse of the greatness of God. He said, well, that's kind of obvious. Hear me out. Because I don't know that we, and I'm talking to me this morning. Because often I don't know. I talk about it, but a lot of times we still put him in that manger. Or we still put him on that cross. Or we put him beside that well where he's thirsty. Or where he sent his disciples away and said, I'm hungry. But let me tell you about God. God is in control of everything. That he spoke the world from nothing. That there was darkness. And he said, let there be light. Amen. That there was no ground. And he called it together. There was no living creatures upon the face of the earth. And God said, let there be. And it was good. Now, it's sensed. I'll just be honest with you. It's since faded from me just a little bit. But just for a second, I understood why worry about tomorrow Amen. I'm sheltered in the arms of God. I mean, why do I have to fear what so-and-so says down the road, or what the laws are passed on the hill, or what who's going to hold the office, when I serve the God that's in control of everything? And I pray this morning that maybe you too can just get that little glimpse of how great our God really is. Amen. How great God is. He said, be careful for nothing, but all things through prayer and supplication. All things through prayer. Call on God. Bring it to the Lord. He said, do that. Why? Because he can handle it. Amen. God, give us that vision again. Lord, let us not lose that, but help us to know that, Lord, it's you that's called us out. It's you that have set our feet upon the rock. Amen. Upon that rock to stay. Amen. And, you know, when we find something life-changing that we want to share it, we want to be there, we want to declare God's word, amen, that God will just open up the doors for us. Amen. That, come see a man. Come. So there's the proposition. Let's look at the description. Jesus gives a description. Now, after this, we find back in John chapter number 4, we go back there again. So the woman goes back, come see a man. They all come out to see them. It says in verse 31, in the meanwhile, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. We won't spend a lot of time on that because we looked at that a couple Sundays ago. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And my meat, that's my mission. He had a mission to do. Eat, Lord. He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Well, who brought him food? We went to get food and hell, he's already eaten. They're still thinking physically as well, maybe looking around for one of them food trucks or something that come up in the parking lot. But yet, Jesus wasn't talking physical, was he? He was talking about his purpose. He was talking about his mission. He was talking about the work that he had to do, his being obedient to the will of the Father. And where when Jesus was on that cross and he said those words, it is finished. Amen. Tetelestai, it is finished. I often think about even the Apostle Paul when he says, I'm ready to be offered. I've finished my course. I've finished my race. This course that's been set before me. That's my prayer to God. Let me finish my course. Let me finish my race. Let me carry out the mission that you've given us to do, Lord, that you have in our life. And so Jesus gives this description. If you remember one of the best lines in that movie we watched Friday night with Eric Little and about his life was when he's describing there to his, I guess that was his soon-to-be wife, maybe, or was it, yeah, his wife says, I believe God made me for a purpose, he said. He also made me fast. When I run, I feel his pleasure. So he said, I know God's made me for a purpose. He was later on quoted to say, it's been a wonderful experience to compete in the Olympic Games and to bring home a gold medal. But since I've been a young lad, I have had my eyes on a different prize, he said. You see, each one of us is in a greater race than any I have run in Paris. And this race ends when God gives out the medals. Amen. Jesus goes into this dialogue, if you will, to his disciples as he gives the description. He says, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Jesus says, don't say we're waiting on the harvest. He says, look up and see the harvest. The fields, they're white and they're ready to harvest. And I heard the example given is maybe when Jesus was there with the disciples and the woman has gone back and told the men, and they all begin to come out to where they are there by that well. And maybe when they were having this discussion, that Jesus said, look up and see. And all those heads with the coverings on them are coming to him, and just looks like a field. He says, look up and see the harvest. It's ripe. It's ready. And then he goes into this description and says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. The Apostle Paul uses this same thing there. If you remember in the, I guess it was to the Corinthian church, when they were having, he was really, I guess, speaking to them about their separations and them splitting up into groups, saying, I'm of this group or I'm of that group. And the Apostle Paul says, you know, I am of Paul. Another says, I'm of Apollos. He said, you're yet carnal. He says what? He says, who is Paul? I'm in 1 Corinthians 3:5. Who is then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Amen. Maybe we all get a hold of this morning. To God be the glory. Now, I'd like to be one of them that reapeth, wouldn't you? But there's a lot of people that spend their life just in sowing. Now, sowing might not be quite as glamorous because you're not taking in the harvest. But Paul says, listen, I sowed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. He says, I'm nothing. Apollos is nothing. It's all to the glory of God. That's how we work, isn't it? That's how we minister. We minister for the glory of God, not for us. Not that we might build up something and say, look what I've done. Not just to be part of something successful or whatever. But to God be the glory. And so what that tells us to do this morning, you know, if we're the one that's sowing, then we keep our head up and we just keep sowing. So well, it keeps the seed keeps dying. Or the seed's good. Man, Jesus makes that very clear. There's nothing wrong with seed. I've been trying to grow grass at my house ever since last winter when all that rain come. I lost all these spots in my front yard. And I'm having an awful time growing grass. I cannot grow grass. Lord, may I work for your kingdom better than I can grow grass. Take it back. I can grow it in the sidewalks and on the pavement, but not in dirt. And so I went and I got some good rich dirt, and I filled up the spots, and I put the grass seed out, and I covered it with straw, and I seen some grass popping up, and I was getting so excited. And Shell calls me at work one day and says, well, I know it was Melissa. Yeah, she called us when we were gone up to my mom. She called and says, the dog dug up all your grass. And I'm like, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sow some more grass. What else can you do? I want grass growing. I'm going to keep sowing it. Now, when we're working for the kingdom of God, we want to see increase. We want to see growth. We want to see green grass. Amen. You say, well, I'm not having, just keep sowing the good seed. Right, make sure we're sowing good seed, right? We'll make sure we're preaching this gospel the right way. We're sharing it the right way. And that's why, you know, we do get in. We study the word of God. And we come with our initial testimony. Come see a man. But then eventually somebody would come by and say, tell me some more about this man. They say, well, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about the Spirit of God that draws. Let me talk to you about the Father that draws, that teaches us. Amen. Let me tell you about what Amos said about the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the tender of grapes, him that soweth. I mean, see, Amos prophesied of a great harvest, such a great harvest that the one that breaks the ground and prepares it for seed, shall be ready really to tread on the heels of the reaper, because the harvest, the reaper's bringing in that harvest. Jesus said, lift up your head and look. So don't say 4 months from now and then the harvest. Jesus said the harvest is ready. Look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Then he says, I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. I would say there's much there in that verse. When we think about Jesus sending his apostles out and go preach the word, sending them out in groups, and even at the end, as he before he ascends into the heavens, he gives them that what we call the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. And that Great Commission that was given there, but yet they were entering in some way to other man's labors. It was kind of a reproach. If you look at Old Testament scripture, it was normally a reproach to sow seed and not reap a harvest. Matter of fact, there's many of the prophets when God is speaking prophecy against a particular nation or even against his own people, one of the judgments that would come was that they would, he said, you're going to sow seed, you're not going to reap. You know, you're going to look for grapes, you're not going to have any. You're going to, and what was worse, when someone else would reap from what you had sown. And that usually meant either a captivity or a defeat of some sorts. And so, you know, to them, it would be more of a negative connotation. You know, I'm going to sow seed, I'm not going to reap. That's terrible. Is that God's judgment? But see, he doesn't end there. He says, you know, we're all going to receive wages, he says. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. See, this isn't a reproachful thing. That's what I'm getting at this morning. It isn't like Old Testament scripture when they sowed and they didn't reap because it was a reproach. Amen? Here Jesus says, listen, you're going to rejoice together. One's going to sow, one's going to reap. We're going to rejoice in God because it's the Father. It's God that gives the increase. I mean, it's his work. Now, I know it can get frustrating here sometimes. You know, we want to see growth. We want to see more and more people come in. We want to have a body of believers working together. Let's just keep sowing seed. I want to leave you with that this morning. Just keep sowing seed. Don't stop. Amen. It's not just the preacher's job. It's every one of us sitting here. We've got our families. We want to reach our families. We want to see our families come to the Lord. And how important that is to us. Amen. That we just see not one lost soul. And God, we want to see our loved ones come to you. We want to see our neighbors. And why? Because we know it's a life or death, isn't it? Remember, those that will receive the word of God. And that's just it. I mean, there are those that will receive it, and there's those that will reject it. I mean, the Apostle Paul talks about to some it's a savor of life, and to some it's a savor of death. Not all is going to receive this gospel. In fact, the scripture talks about few there be that find it. Few. So we've got the description there. Let's look at the declaration here in the last part, and we're done. It says, many of the Samaritans of the city that believed on him, for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, so the woman's still around, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. I mean, isn't that wonderful to hear those wonderful words? I believe. Amen. I believe. I believe, Lord. Help thou my unbelief. I'm so thankful to hear those wonderful words that we believe. Amen. How do we enter into that eternal life? He said, believe on me. as the scripture have said. And out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. You've heard the saying, Edward Everett Hall was responsible. He says, I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. Because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. Amen. I will leave that with you this morning. That's the declaration. We believe, not because of what you said now, but because we heard him with our own ears, and we know. I'm glad to know. And I'm glad to know. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, thank you for Lord, these wonderful words of life that has been preserved for us down through the ages. God, that we can come together this morning and receive from them and be encouraged and be strengthened. God, give us a glimpse of who you are. Lord, of your glory. Show us your glory, O God. Lord, let us know you for who you are, God. That we don't bring you down, Father, to our level. God, you are not a man that you should lie. Lord, you are not a man that can be brought down low, but you are the one true living God. You have all power in heaven and earth. We're so thankful for today, and we serve you, God. You are our Father. God, let us not be fretting or worrying, but Lord, let us just go forth and sow the seed, not sparingly. God, just spread this wonderful news. Come see a man. Thank you for that day that we met that man named Jesus. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.